Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Sing this out. We were the beggars.
We were the beggars. Now we're
And we're honored to have you here. Hey, listen, I love when all the students will come and sit right down front. Adults, learn from the teenagers. You didn't know, but the presence of the Lord is more in the front than the back. Did anybody ever tell y'all? Some things I learned in worship leading, where the Lord is, the Lord is. That's the red keyboard. But sitting closer, I'm just kidding. So it's good. We're so thankful that you are here today to worship with us. And we're excited to gather together and sing praise to the Lord. If you are participating online today, I want to thank you for worshiping. We do invite you not just to watch, but to worship. And so where you are at home, on vacation, wherever you might be, sing with us, pray with us, open the Bible with us, and study with us. If you are participating online, we'd love to know it. There's info on the screen. If you'll text that number, we would appreciate that just to have a connection with you. If you're in the room and you're a guest, it is an honor to have you here today, and we're thankful for that. So we would invite you and ask you to tear off the worship registration and to fill that out. Now, if you are a guest or a regular attender and not an official member, all of the things that are stuffed inside your worship guide, you don't have to worry about today. But for all of our official members, we are also beginning our process of selecting deacons. Let me take just a second to tell you how we operate as a faith family. We have a pastoral team that helps lead what we do. And what I mean, that's not just the pastor and our pastoral ministers. That is also including our lay pastors, our deacons, who serve in a pastoral role. They care for you. They pray for you. They want to show up when there's a need. They want to be there consistently to help if they can. So we have 24 active men who serve at a time, and 12 rotate off. Eight rotate off every year. And then eight more come on. You have to be off at least 1 year before you come back on another year. So with all that said, said, we have eight that will be rotating off in a month, and we are selecting now eight new to come on. So you'll see the list of names there. You have to have been an official member of our church for 2 years before you can serve as a deacon. That's in our constitution and bylaws. And so we add new names every year. I think the new names are marked on there for you, but I can tell you, so that means the cutoff was September 1st of 2021. So next year, it is a lot more names that are starting to be added to that over the next coming years. We're thankful. If you'll take that list, though, pray through it, and then mark it. Today is the day to nominate up to eight men. You don't have to choose eight if you don't know eight. If you're new and you don't know a lot of people and you only know a few, just choose from what you know. But you're looking for men that you would like to pray for you, to care for you, to show up in a crisis. Those that you believe have integrity and will lead well and to help us. And so that's what we're looking for. We will then take all the names that are submitted. We'll compile and we'll use our process to get down to 16 of those that will then be presented back to you in 2 weeks to select eight from that to finish that out. So that's our process. It brings the most fidelity to what we're doing. So we're thankful for that. So participate. If you're going to mark them, I'd rather you mark them during Don's worship than my message. So if you'll go ahead. I'm just kidding, Don. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. You can do whatever you like whenever you need to mark those. When we leave, do us a favor. Please don't place those in the offering box. There won't be room. If you can fold those over, there are baskets out there. Place the deacon ballots in the baskets and your offering in the offering box. Just a little bit of housekeeping there. Thank you so much. It is an honor to gather together. Let's pray as we carry on in worship. Father, we pray for our church of the week. Lord, for Connect Church of Albertville, we're thankful for, they have three campuses in Gunnersville and Arab and Albertville. We're thankful for the Albertville congregation, for Pastor Dustin Teat. God, I pray that today you would bring revival to them. God, that the word as it is proclaimed there would change lives, that your Holy Spirit would move in power among them and allow them to see their role as a light in our community. Father, we pray for our mission of the week. We are so honored that our longest standing mission partner locally is Marshall County Christian Services. God, we're so thankful for the work they do in caring for people in our community and providing resources and training ladies, and then the Second Chance Food Pantry, which helps hundreds and hundreds of families, and the other things behind the scenes that they do for so many. God, they have had a rough few months of not having enough supplies. As fast as it comes in, it goes back out. So God, my prayer is that you would be their provider. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Lord, that's not just some cosmic thought for some grand scale, that brings itself all the way down to Marshall County, to Albertville, to Second Chance Food Pantry. God, that you would be the provider so that it can be a difference maker for families in need. God, that we might do our part in helping provide for that need. God, we thank you that we can be a part of that ministry. We pray that the gospel will clearly be proclaimed as they love on people and care for our community. And God, I take a second to pray for other churches in our city. God, if we have ever needed revival, it's today. If we've ever needed unity, it's today. God, give the churches, give the believers of our city unity, not uniformity. We are not going to look and feel like Rose Road Church of God down the road. We're not going to look and feel like La Primera Iglesia Bautista. We are not going to look and feel like Messiah Haitian Church. We're not going to look and feel like Grace Fellowship Presbyterian Church. So God, we're not looking for uniformity, but would you give us unity? May we be united in purpose to lift up King Jesus, to proclaim truth from your word. And God, would you help us to not be the same, but to be one. One in purpose, that we could unite together for the kingdom's sake. Father, I pray for First Methodist Church here in town. Lord, if I remember correctly, their Hispanic congregation is going to baptize 16 people this afternoon. God, we celebrate that with them. We're so thankful for that. God, continue to bless there among them. God, we see you at work around us in different places, and we ask that you would still move among each of those. But God, we ask a prayer that I don't think is selfish. I really want it to be sincere and not selfish, and that is this. Would you bring revival to this place, to this faith family? Lord, let it begin in me. Let it begin in this worship team. Let it begin in this band. Let it begin in this congregation. Let it begin in this service. God, have your way among us. You are our living hope. So we sing about you now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing three incredible songs, one song and two hymns. Lift these in praise to the Lord. Let's stand together and lift your voices as we sing together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the Your very body began to breathe.
worshiping as we sing this glorious hymn of praise, "It Is Well With My Soul." Let's sing this together.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Turning back, no time. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me.
God, if there's ever a line we want to be true in our hearts, it's the world behind us, the cross before us. And may we also realize the cross is behind us. We've experienced your cross. The cross is beside us. You are providing grace and mercy and new life. God, let us see your grace in the scripture today. Let us see your mercy in the scripture today. Let us see your truth in the scripture today. God, there's a lot of people in this room. Some of us come in here with some heavy, heavy things on our heart today. Some situations in the future that are pretty desperate. And some with some current situations that are a struggle. Lord, somebody comes into this room lonely, surrounded by people, but lonely. God, somebody comes into this room and they've already asked you to forgive them for the thousandth time for the thing they said they'd never do again. Others come in here, Lord, honestly, just because it's a habit. It's a good habit, but a habit nonetheless. God, my prayer is for every one of those that you will invade our souls, that you will transform us, that you will shake us, that you will stir us, that you will change us. God, we're going to read your word. It is truth without mixture of error. It is infallible. It was the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow, just like you. Father, what we read will mean something. So God, let us read with anticipation that we're hearing miraculous truth from the creator of the universe. And God, change us, please. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last Old Testament book. If you can't find it, find Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and back up, and you'll come to Malachi. This is week 13 of our series called Major in the Minors. And the minors are the minor prophets. You have major prophets, which are large books of the Bible that offer prophecy and truth. Then you have minor prophets, which there are 12 of them. They're small books of the Bible. This is week 13, but it's actually our 11th book to look at. And we still have Hosea to go. But for today, we will be in Malachi. And I have to tell you, if you've been enjoying our series through the minor prophets, you're in luck. We're going to extend it two more weeks. If you have just been tolerating it, sorry, but here's what we're going to do. So because of Malachi and reading it this week and preparing to try to find a central theme of truth there, instead what I find are three major things. So major that we need to look at them individually. So we're going to park it in Malachi for 3 weeks, today and two more weeks, and then we'll finish out Hosea. So don't worry about the timing, but that's what we're going to do. In the book of Malachi, we get some incredible messages here from God. Malachi is the final book of the Old Testament. It was the last written book before a 400-year period of silence from God. Now, he might have been working in people's hearts and lives, of course, as we know he would have been, but as far as giving them something to write down, thus says the Lord, God went silent for 400 years. It would be like in worship if we sing a song and we take just a moment in the quietness when a song is building and we're waiting for some powerful moment, even like when It Is Well, when you hear that soft guitar strum and then we bust out in, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. It's this pause that's designed to be dramatic, to remind us that something big is coming. And so this 400 years of silence is a dramatic pause. It is a reminder that something big is coming, and Jesus showed up. And then everything changed, and that's why we're here. And so we're going to look at the last recorded words before all of that happened. And the truth is, Israel is still in a mess. Things still aren't going very well for them after all that's taken place and all the second chances, third chances, fourth chances. So God sent Malachi with a message. If you look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, it gives us great detail in this one little verse. It says, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, let me tell you why that's important. It says a lot. The word oracle in Hebrew means burden. So I want you to think of something as heavy and burdensome. And it says the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The name Malachi means literally my messenger. So God is saying this. This is a heavy word of the Lord to Israel through my messenger. And so we start off knowing this is not going to be easy, and it is not. And so Malachi is a collection of conversations. It's not just conversations, it's disputes, as most of the theologians would say it, but a good old Alabama boy would say they were arguing. And so it's a collection of arguments between God and Israel. But what you need to know is that Israel is not saying these things out loud. God knows their heart, so he is saying, this is what you would say. We would equate that with an imaginary conversation, though God knows exactly what they're thinking. Let me ask you, have you ever had an imaginary argument with someone in your mind before? Raise your hand. Have you ever had that imaginary argument with the person? I'm just kidding, next to you. Don't say that. If you get mad at somebody and you have an argument in your mind, or at night when you lay down and put your head on the pillow and you're still mad about it and you start having this argument in your mind, have you ever lost that argument? You win every argument in your mind. Why? You're the world's best arguer in your mind. And so it's just, it comes out. Well, understand, this is not like that. This is not God just mad. This is God speaking to them. And he's saying, I've got your number. I know what you would say. I know what you're doing. So here's what you're saying. So here's what I say. And you get this back and forth between God and Israel. And then he explains and gives us a beautiful lesson from it. So we're going to look at a little of that today. Look at verse 2, Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. He says, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? And God answers, is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. Now, I want to give you a little history and reminder. We go back to Abraham. If you grew up in church as a child, it was a requirement that you learn the song. You know it. Father Abraham, come on. Have many sons. You got to do this. And many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. That's weird, okay? We start doing that arm thing, but that's what we teach as kids. If you didn't grow up in church and you're worried, it's okay. It was just a song we learned. But Father Abraham, Abraham had many sons. He's the birth of the nations, really, of the peoples, all the peoples. But here's what we understand and what we know from Scripture. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Esau and Jacob. Esau, he later becomes Edom. If you were here when we covered the book of Obadiah early in the summer, it's been a while. Early in the summer when we covered Obadiah, it was all about Edom and the Edomites, and that was Esau. So Esau becomes Edom, and Edom is a horrible enemy of Israel. Jacob becomes Israel. And so this is the idea behind what you're reading here. Esau and Jacob were twin brothers, and Esau is slightly older. And even though he was only seconds or minutes older, it was enough to mark him out as the chosen. It was enough to mark him out as the most blessed. In their day and age and the way society worked, the elder son would be the one who would have the birthright. The elder son would be the leader. The elder son would receive 2/3 of the blessings of what everyone else would receive. So I want to encourage you, when you read this, if you read it and you hate to hear those words where it says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Listen, I got to be honest with you. For years, I've tried to avoid this verse at all costs. Why? Because I can't understand the God who loves one brother and hates another. But I want to encourage you to understand something, and don't be offended, but you're overthinking it. Don't think in terms of the English words love and hate filled with emotion. Instead, I want you to understand that this is all about someone being chosen who should not have been chosen. And what do we call that but grace? This is a story and a picture of grace. It's about God choosing an unlikely person in the story. In an act of grace, Jacob becomes Israel instead of Esau. Now, you may say, then why does God say he hates him? Again, don't focus on that word so much, but I can tell you this. Esau and the Edomites did horrible, horrible things against Israel, and they tried their best to stop and distort and distract the bloodline of the king that would come, the Messiah, someday. So when I read this passage, I'm not sitting around thinking God hated Esau. I read this passage and think, thank you, God, for grace. And so I want to encourage you to stop and reflect on grace. If you're writing things down, God's grace brings salvation to you and me. Have I ever given you a more simple phrase than that? God's grace brings salvation to you and me. If you know much about Jesus at all, you already know that. But I want you to stop and reflect on what it means. You did not earn it any more than Jacob earned the birthright of being Israel, of being the one who would literally, from him would come the nation of God's people. He didn't earn that. He was given that. You can't sustain grace in your life. You aren't good enough. You'll never be good enough. I'm not good enough. It is a gift from God. We can't keep it on our own. You couldn't hold on to it. If someone handed you a glass bowl full of grace, you would surely drop it, and so would I. God sustains us. God keeps us. God holds on to us. It is God who does that for us. I love the old hymn that we sing, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Sing it with me. Grace, grace, God's grace. That's greater. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Guys, never underestimate the power of God's grace. Don't underestimate it in your life or in someone else's. His grace is greater than your sin. Amen. His grace is greater than our feeble attempts at being good. I look ridiculous trying to be perfect before a holy God. Grace is greater than your yesterday. And grace is enough for the trouble of tomorrow. I want you to think about that for a moment. Grace is enough to sustain you. It's greater than your yesterdays, and it's enough for the trouble that's coming tomorrow. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he is without sin. Let us then with confidence," so you can have confidence as you draw near to the throne of grace, "that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can have confidence in the grace of God. We can confidently rest in God's grace sustaining us. So let's look at one more dispute and see how we apply that to our lives. Look at the next verse, Malachi 1:6. It says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor?" God says. "And if I am a master, where is my fear?" says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. Now, I want you to realize the Bible teaches the concept that God is the father and we are the children over and over. In fact, in Isaiah 1:2, God says this, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me." That's talking about Israel, but it might as well be you and me. And so he goes on in Malachi 6 to say this, or Malachi 1 to say, "But you say, how have we despised your name?" Again, here's the argument. He said, Israel says, "How have we despised you, God?" Listen to his answer. Verse 7, "By offering polluted food among my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? You see, the Israelites had gone from offering perfect, spotless, blemished, unblemished animals as was required in Leviticus chapter 22. If you were to read Leviticus 22, you would see great requirements for sacrifice. And they knew what they were supposed to do. But here they are many years later, and they are offering blind animals, blemished animals, not the best animals. What is that? If that's an act of worship, it is just going through the motions. Now let's keep going. He says this, present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, and now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, he will show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts. Will he do that? He's asking. Verse 10, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors that you might not kindle the fire on my altar in vain. This is bad. When it says it's going to be a heavy oracle, God says, I wish somebody would shut the doors to the temple so that nobody could get in there to make a sacrifice to me. That's bad. And then he goes on to say this, for I find no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. So because of their sinful attitudes and actions, their offering was in vain. Because of their half-hearted inferior animal sacrifices, their offering was in vain. Now look at verse 11. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, so says the Lord of hosts. Now, you may not realize it, but he went from having an argument with them to prophesying something to them. Verse 11's prophecy, let's read it again and think in those terms. He says, from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, not just among Israel, but among all the world. And in every place, incense, and what is incense? It is a symbolic, they use real incense for sacrificial offering, but it's symbolism of our prayers and worship to God. We see that in Revelation and other places. He says, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations. So the reason it's a prophecy is this, it's either a prophecy about Jesus' sacrifice, which in turn, when he sacrificed on the cross, made all things new, or it's a prophecy about the second coming of Jesus. Now, why would I say it's one of those? He says here that God will be great among the nations, not just Israel, and that they would have a pure offering, that all the nations, all the peoples could have a pure offering. Well, you need to understand when this was written, there was only one place for a pure offering, one place only, and that was the temple in Jerusalem. They had gone for years without a temple. They couldn't offer a pure offering, and now they could bring one again. It was the only place. So he's not saying all the nations will be in Israel at this moment, and that's going to happen. So he's talking about Jesus to come, either when Jesus came 400 years later and sacrificed for us, or when Jesus is going to return at another time. When Jesus came, Jesus changed the offering system. When John the baptizer looked at Jesus walking down the road, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says Jesus is the offering. He is the sacrifice. And now through his death on the cross and resurrection, he changed everything about how we make offerings to God. We no longer offer up animals. And I, for one, as a pastor, am glad we don't offer up animal sacrifices anymore. Because being a pastor, when you relate sort of to the priests of the day, I got to tell you, the priests of the day in the scripture, they were a lot more like butchers than they were pastors in some respects. They were sacrificing lots of animals, lots of blood, lots of burning, lots of meat cutting, lots of things that I have no desire to be a part of, but that's how they had to do it and what they must do. And then Jesus came and changed everything. And so now we can have pure offerings from anywhere. Incense, prayers and praise to God from anywhere. And maybe it's talking about not even just that, but when Jesus would return someday, when we know that people from everywhere will worship him. So let me ask you, or let me make a couple of statements. First of all, we make an offering now of our worship. That's what we do. Our lives are an act of worship, and our actual offerings are worship. So let me ask you, are your offerings pure? Do you give God less than your best, or do you give him your best? Is the offering of your life and the offering of your corporate worship, is it acceptable to God? Let me keep reading verse 12. It says, but you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or is sick, and then you bring that as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? In other words, he's saying the heart of your offering matters. The fact that you bring an animal is not enough. If you don't do it with the right attitude, you don't come with the right circumstance, God says, I'm not interested in that. Look at verse 14, his strongest words yet. He says, cursed be the cheat who has a male lamb in his flock and vows it to God and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished instead. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. So what is he saying? He says, cursed is the person who lies when he makes a vow. Now listen, this is pretty serious. That's what he was saying to the Israelites. So how do we apply this to our lives? When we come together in worship, you've heard me say this probably, I don't know how many times over the last 12 and a half years as your pastor, and that is this, that we can sing a lie as easy as we tell a lie. And so we have to be careful to examine our own lives when we come to worship, our own lives when we come to worship, to make sure we come to truly worship him. So let me ask you, reflect back on your week of worship. And I'm not just talking about corporate worship. I'm talking about corporate worship, but also your life of worship, how you live your life. But let's start with just corporate worship. Let's start with just today. It's 11:13. We started this service at 10:30 on the dot. So for the first 30 minutes, we sang worship songs and prayed to God. So let me ask you just about that time this morning, okay? Reflect back on what you did today in this room. Here's some of the things you sang. The cross before me, the world behind me. Though none go with me, I still will follow. We sang, it is well with my soul. We sang, Jesus Christ, you are my living hope. And then we started with, of all things, there is joy in the house of the Lord. Can I ask you, did you offer those songs in truth and sincerity today? Now, can I make a little confession? And I don't want to offend anybody, and I'm not trying to be mean, but there's quite a perspective when you're in the choir. Ask any choir member or praise team member when you're watching the congregation worship. And I'm not saying every one of you need to have your hands up, jumping up and down. I realize everybody's not about singing. Some people don't love to sing, but I have to tell you that's really not an issue. When it's a command from the Lord, we at least need to lift up and speak these words. If notes don't come out, let words come out. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to close my eyes so I don't get in trouble if I'm pointing at somebody. When we look out in this room, sometimes some of you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice. I'm not saying I didn't look, but I know where you are. And so what I would say to you is this. It's not about looks, but I'll be honest. Looks reflect often what's in the heart. And I want to encourage you. Again, we're not asking you to do anything crazy or outlandish. But friends, when we come to worship, we must worship. And if we can stand before the holy God and sing, it is well with my soul, but look like there's nothing in our soul, and sing there's joy in the house of the Lord, but really not even sing it, some won't even speak those words. Listen, friends, I got to tell you, then what I would say from scripture we've learned is that that would be polluted worship. Now, I'm not asking you to do anything for show. I'm asking you to do what I did this morning. And it's not fair because I knew I was going to ask this question. So I realize that. But when I was sitting right here, right before we started, I was able to, in my own heart, speak to God and say, God, am I going to mean these words I'm about to sing? I want to be sincere and mean every word. And I want to give you my life of worship. Now, I knew I was going to ask you this. So I prepared, but I want to encourage you, don't bring a polluted corporate worship offering to God. Come prepared. And how do you do that? You enter this room, you sit down and speak to people around you. And then the second thing you do after you speak to everyone around you, and by the way, let me just say, if you come in and sit down and don't speak to anybody around you and you're a member of this church, you are not doing your job. Period. Let me say it again. If you come in and sit down and you're a member of this church and you don't speak to people around you, you are failing in doing your job. We are called to help welcome. We're a family. If you walked into my living room and two of my kids walk in, I spoke to them and not the other one, we got problems in our house. Now you may say, Chris, that happens in my house all the time. You got problems in your house. So I want to encourage you, speak to others around you. Now, if you're a guest, you don't have to do that. We're not expecting that of you, but thank you for doing so. We're thankful. But after that's done, the most important thing you can do is to stop and say, God, what do I bring to you today? I'm not talking about your money. I'm not talking about, did I wear nice enough clothes today? God, what do I bring to you in my heart and in my mind today? My gratitude. What do I bring to you today? What do I bring to you that I'm thankful for today? See, here's the secret. If you come into worship service and you don't take time to be thankful, you will not worship. Gratitude leads to worship. Thankfulness, even when you're not in the right frame of mind, will bring that about. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, not only do we have corporate worship that we bring to God, but then also the other 167 hours of your week and my week, that's where worship is lived out, outside this room. Honestly, for the large majority, a lot of us, it's great to see you worshiping the Lord in this place because it's easy to worship the Lord in this place. The air conditioner works pretty good, The seats are fairly comfortable. No one's giving you a hard time while you're here. You're able, listen, it is easy to come in here with other people we know aren't going to be mad that we love Jesus. Other people aren't going to make fun of us for singing praise to him or opening our Bible. To come, it's so easy to worship God here. But the other 167 hours, listen, it's difficult, I understand, at times. But that's where we're called to live a life of worship, a lifestyle of worship in our actions, in our thoughts, in our reactions, in what we do. In Romans, it calls us living sacrifices. Here's what I've learned about myself as a living sacrifice. I've shared this idea before, and I don't remember who said it first, but I love the way they said it. The only trouble with a living sacrifice is we keep crawling off the altar. It is so easy to put yourself up on the altar and say, God, I give you my life, and then just crawl right off on our own. And so being a living sacrifice is not always easy. But we come to God and say, God, I give you my life. Would you help me? How I treat my children, may it be an act of worship. How I treat my spouse, may it be an act of worship. My work ethic at the job, may it be an act of worship. How I behave at school, may it be an act of worship. How I think in my mind and how I deal with temptations that come, may that be an act of worship. How I show love and compassion and mercy and grace. How I speak truth with boldness. All those things can be an act of worship in our week. And so, friends, I want to encourage you, more than just the 1 hour that we're here, let your life be a life of worship. Because if not, if our actions betray us and then we come together, then I truly believe King Jesus will say the same thing God the Father said to Israel in Malachi chapter 1, your offerings are polluted. And the last thing I want to do is bring a polluted offering to God. I've been a Christian for 44 years now. And being a Christian for 44 years now, here's one thing I know for sure. It is easy to offer God a polluted offering. It just is. Bad attitudes, actions, thoughts, distractions. It's just easy to let that become polluted and not genuine and not what God has for us. I've done it many times. Well, today I want a renewed commitment not to do that. So I want to encourage you to think about your own life. Think about the way you've lived your life this week. I'm not asking you to tell me all that you've done. I'm asking you to confess and repent to the Lord and say, God, my attitude has made it where I've not brought you a pure offering. It's been polluted, and I want to change that today. Or maybe you say, God, things have been great all week, but oh, I struggle with my spouse. God, help me. Forgive me. I want to bring a pure offering to you of my life. Or maybe for you, it's everything's been great, but at work, you're miserable in your job, and so your work ethic has reduced. You're not giving it your all, whatever the case may be. You're not being a good example. Maybe you're grumbling, complaining, pulling down the morale just a little bit. You have the power to do that. And maybe you stop and say, God, I have not given my all, my best. And so, God, it's important for me to realize that makes my offerings polluted. Maybe for you, though, you come in this room and you're like me. There are weeks that I'm here and I feel a connection with the Lord like no other. And then there are weeks that I feel like I have caused such a distance in my walk with him. Well, that's the perfect time to stop and be thankful, to lift up some gratitude, to bring back to him, to bring us back into right relationship with him. feel led to do something a little different. I've gotten away from my notes. They're in there somewhere. I don't know. But for Zach, the song I mentioned to you right when we came in, I'd like to use that. So we're probably going to get kicked off Facebook for this, but just for a few minutes. It's nothing horrible. I mean, I don't mean that, but they'll mute us. Let me say that. But I want to give you a moment. I was sitting at the end of our early service, and the Lord laid a song on my heart. And then in Sunday school, I couldn't get past it. We had a great Sunday school lesson, but I still, my mind just kept going back to this and this and this. And I believe it's for now. And so it's not for us to sing. We're not trying to be polished and professional and just us always lead you. This is just a song for you to worship to there at your seat. And let this be an act of pure worship and praise for you. It's about gratitude. It's about thankfulness. It's about worshiping Him. And as you feel led, I invite you to sing with us. I invite you to, if you need to get on your knees and repent, to do so. If you need to just sit in your seat and just bask in what it says, it's truth for us. We have so much to be thankful for who God is. So would you listen to this song? And don't just listen, worship through these songs. Listen to these words.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end.
Hallelujah means praise to the Lord. Let this be your prayer time, personal, your time of worship. Not polluted offerings, but confession. Listen as we keep singing.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of these lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of your lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Get up and pray.
You know this little chorus. Would you sing it?
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
I know it's not much.
And I know it's not much.
But I'm nothing else fit for a king.
Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father God, we don't have much to offer you. We don't have anything fit to offer a king. So God, may we be a living sacrifice with our lives. God, may we be a living sacrifice with our thoughts and our actions. My thoughts betray me so much of the time. God, may the grace that you've given us be lived in overflow as we seek to love people the way you love them, serve people the way you serve us, as we seek to speak truth the way truth needs to be spoken, as we seek to show mercy the way mercy needs to be lived. Father, as we treat our children with kindness and love and respect, but also with discipline, God, may we see you in that and worship you wholeheartedly that way. Father, may we treat our spouses in such a way that any rift that might be there, anything that might exist in relationships in this room, Father, that what they would see is grace and mercy, that they would see Jesus in their husband, that he would see Jesus in his wife. Father, that we would go to work tomorrow and being reminded that real worship's not in this 1 hour right here in this room, that worship takes place in the workplace. Whatever we do, do it all as unto the Lord and not for human masters. God, our boss is not the owner of the company. Our boss is you. We worship for you ultimately. We work for you ultimately as an act of worship. So God, may we be reminded of that. God, as we interact with people that bother us or annoy us or honestly maybe are just against us, may we be reminded that even our interaction with them is a way of worshiping you. So God, may our lives be an act of worship this week. God, may what you said to Malachi, what you said through Malachi to Israel, not be something you would say to the faith family at First Baptist Church. Please don't let our worship be polluted. Please don't let our individual worship of you be polluted. God, may we come before you whole and clean. You are worthy of our praise. And Father, for those in the room that feel like they have failed miserably, and today's been some kind of test that they just failed because of the last week, my prayer is they would be reminded of those words we talked about very early on in Malachi, that your grace is sufficient and your grace is available and your grace is greater than our yesterday and it's enough for the trouble of tomorrow. So may we walk and grab a hold of your grace. That is our prayer, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.